meeting will come to order. Roll call, please. We have Daniel Kelly, James Thomas, Robert Judge, Stephanie Ombruster, and David Petrie are here with us tonight. Ms. Wingate and Mr. Padron are absent. Okay. If you would stand, please, for the invocation. Reverend Kelly, if you would lead us, please.
Father, we thank you tonight for this meeting. We pray for a peaceful, great meeting. We pray for wisdom and direction over this meeting, our neighbors and friends, as we come together to help give wise counsel under your guidance. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight. Keep us all safe. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Item number 3 is staff recognition. This is actually my favorite part. This started back in November with the above and beyond award. So you'll forgive me if I stand. I'll speak loud enough. This month's award goes to one of the team members of the Lafayette Parish Library's main branch. Everyone may recall that last year the card policy was changed to reflect in-parish residents from those who reside outside of the parish of Lafayette, Louisiana. As you may gather, there are instances in which someone may actually reside inside the parish of Lafayette, yet have a mailing address that reflects a neighboring parish. This generally affects those in unincorporated areas of Lafayette Parish. The postal codes and the parish lines don't sync perfectly. You could have somebody that lives in Western Lafayette Parish and actually has a Rain address. I'm sure there are other instances of that, and we're going to get to that in 1 second. With the policy change to reflect in versus out of parish, the discrepancy could naturally cause some parish resident to be classified incorrectly, as the system just automatically goes by the mailing address. To resolve this problem would require a fix, and one that was not in the can, but had to be devised. In other words, the computer system would automatically just go, those who have a zip code outside of Lafayette Parish or have a Rain address, mailing address, would automatically be classified as out of parish. But again, that doesn't sync perfectly. So our Above and Beyond Award this month is awarded to Miss Kirsten Darborn. And this is wonderful. Kirsten herself would have fallen into this dual residency of postal address outside the parish and yet actually reside in the parish. She saw the challenge, which amounted to just under 9,000 library accounts. I'm going to repeat that number. Just under 9,000 library accounts. It was 8,953 to be exact. That was the number that was given to me. Comprised from 5 different zip codes that would be affected by this new policy. Kirsten did not shy away from this challenge despite the task before her. No, quite the contrary. She devised a plan, got approval from her supervisors, and began her work, which involved obtaining a digital map of Lafayette Parish, verifying that the physical location of the cardholder was inside the parish boundary, entered individually the 14-digit account number, manually switched the account number from out of parish to in parish, or PUB for minors. I'm not sure what that means, but Sarah, you can.
Public school.
Okay, thank you. She documented all that she did for future reference, so she left the manual to do this. In addition, and not part of the original task plan, she tidied up the accounts with discrepancies and addressing and fixing duplicate accounts. She began this program in November of 2022 and completed it last month. This was a 5-month project that was in addition to her regular duties. Kirsten displayed many virtues in this project, particularly the virtue of fortitude, to see a massive project like this to its end and not be deterred by any obstacles that undoubtedly arose in the light of this project. By documenting her work and saving the research that was necessary so that in the future, as new homes are built in the unincorporated areas near the borders with neighboring parishes, the staff can update the records without having to reinvent the wheel. Because, well, Kirsten not only invented this wheel, she built it and left the detailed instructions for whomever may follow her and be tasked with updating this information to correctly note those in and out of parish. Is she here? Item number four is approval of minutes. We do not have the minutes in front of us.
I'll make a motion to delay that to the next meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any comment from the public on the approval of the minutes and No? Okay, we have a motion and a second. We'll call for a vote. All those in favor of postponing the approval of the minutes from last month to June's meeting, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion is passed. Number five, comments from the library board. Lafayette Public Library Foundation report. Ms. Wingate is not here, so I will read this report on her behalf. This is the LPLF is celebrating the successful recognition event held on April 20th, 2023, held at Vermilionville Event Center. Meal provided by Corner Pantry, the Somewhere Over the Bayou event honored three outstanding supporters of the library. Tia Castillo received the Foundation Award. The family of Sona Domborian received the Major Donor Award. And Lafayette Public Library staff received the President's Award. Also, part of the event was the installation of the new officers for the LPLF for the 2023-24 year of service. Officer positions installed at the event were the following: President Kylan Jordan, Vice President Christy Malloyd, Recording Secretary Lynette Mejia, Corresponding Secretary Joan Wingate, Treasurer Andrew Duyon. Setting sight on plans for the new year of service, the members are hoping to be getting, quote, back to basics, close quote, through updating bylaws and committee work assignments in the coming year. Report from the Friends of the Lafayette Public Library. The Friends will be having a mini sale at Main on June 29th and 30th and July 1st. Prices are the same as always. $1 per inch for hardbacks and 50 cents an inch for paperbacks. What a bargain. And there is an ongoing perpetual sale at Main and South with prices that are slightly higher. That's the end of the report. And now item number six, director's report and comments, please.
So I have been working on finding a way to turn the charging stations back on without costing Lafayette any money. And I have been working on finding a suitable property for a Northeast library and living through a roof repair at Main. Met with the people who will be presenting for South. And that's about all I have to report right now.
Any board members have any questions about anything? No. Okay. Assistant Director's report and comments.
So for April, recent staff changes include Kirsten Darbon, which you might recognize that name as the staff member that was just awarded the Above and Beyond Award. She was promoted from LTA 1 to LTA 3 at the main library.
Excuse me one second if I can. So what's the difference between the LTA 1 and?
And LTA 3.
Okay.
Library technical assistants, they work in our circulation departments. The ones are the bottom level. They check in, check out, review materials as they come in for damage. They are usually the person you see at the front desk who will check you out and take any cash for fines or fees or new cards or the perpetual book sales at the Friends book shops. The LTA 3s do all of that. But they direct workflow. They're not like a true supervisor. They don't have anyone under them, but they help create the schedules. They help delegate tasks. They are the first person the LTA ones go to when they have a problem, and that bump up chain of command before it goes to the manager of the department.
Okay, so when Kirsten did all of the work she did?
As an LTA one.
That's impressive.
One of the reasons we were happy to promote her.
Yeah, really. that's great. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but when you said that, it kind of hit me, and I went, wait a minute. Okay, good. Thank you.
Madison Baudouin was promoted from LTA 1 to LTA 3 at the South Regional Library. Austin Broussard was hired as an LA 1 in the Outreach Services Department, and he comes to us with a lot of bookstore experience and outreach pop-up events, so I think he's going to be great for that department. And then we're still in various stages of the interview process for the following positions: Librarian 1, LTA 1, Accounting Specialist, Library Community Relations Specialist, and Director's Executive Secretary. April might mean the end of the school year for teachers and parents and students, but it is just the beginning of our busiest months of the year here at the library. So that means a lot of field trips to the Lafayette Public Library. Our branches hosted field trips from the following schools in the month of April: Charles Burke, which they went to two different branches, S.J. Montgomery, Northeast Elementary, Acadiana Christian Homeschool, and Catherine Drexel. Field trips are a great way to introduce children to the wonders of the library as well as promote the upcoming summer reading challenge. April was a busy month for the outreach department. Staff were able to connect with 450 Stuller associates at the Stuller Health Benefits and Safety Fair. Staff also interacted with 170 people at the Festival de Success, which is a free event for individuals with special needs and their families. The BiblioBike saw a lot of action last month as well. Staff interacted with 565 people at Festival International and 210 people at the Student Art Expo, which most of those events were downtown. The Seed Library by Healthy Acadiana launched in April and was a huge success. 50 people attended the launch, where we revealed the logo and heard from representatives of the involved organizations. The response to the Seed Library has been extremely positive, with many patrons perusing the library, checking out seeds, and we've already received a lot of donations to keep the library stocked. Staff have been hard at work preparing for this year's Summer Reading Challenge. The theme is Reading Brings Us Together, and we are hosting our annual kickoff on Saturday, June 3rd from 10:30 to 2:30 at the South Regional Library. Come out for a day of family fun with face painters, balloon artists, fun jumps, a petting zoo, and performances by Mitch the Magician. You'll even have a chance to dunk the director in the dunk tank. Our 100 Days of Summer Reading Challenge starts June 1st and runs through September 8th, which is World Literacy Day. If you have been someone who's done the Summer Reading Challenge before, you'll notice a little different this year. We're trying something new. We're challenging patrons to read at least 20 minutes every day during this period. Anyone who reads at least 30 days will receive a prize pack, and then patrons can earn a bonus prize at the 50, 75, and 100-day mark as well. And lastly, I attended the Friends of the Library board meeting and the Foundation board meeting last month.
Thank you. Okay. Next item is facilities update and financial report. Mr. Angel.
All right. Our main roof replacement project is going great. We should have substantial completion. Actually, I believe it was issued last week. That just means the contract's just about done, minus a few punch list items. It's well ahead of contract time, and we are still on the original contract price, so we did great. It's looking great. For the South Regional Library upgrades, our architect will be here speaking here on one of the agenda items here, but we reviewed the combined schematic design and development. Library staff put together their comments. We sent those to the architect, and we met with the architect and engineers and kind of hashed out how to go forward and just adjusted a few things, but everything is looking pretty good on that project. We'll also talk more about that in a minute. Nothing new to report on the North Regional Library upgrade projects. Still working with the architect to kind of get us back on cue and get that one going. Northeast Library, we're going to talk about that a little in a minute. And a major repair at our South Regional Library. We had a burnt compressor on condenser unit 4A, and just that one compressor cost us $6,700. That's all I have on major facilities. Any questions on that?
Larry, I have a question, please.
Yes, sir.
When the South Regional Library renovations were first contemplated, do you remember what the number was as far as what it was going to cost?
I don't have that with me.
Okay.
And we've been through many phases and changes.
I understand.
It was an expansion first, and it was an upgrade, then it was less of an upgrade. So it's...
What's the number now?
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to look at those things. You want to do this?
Oh, it's the...
As part of...
It's the next agenda item.
Yeah.
But I need to do the financial statement as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Unless there was something else about facilities. Okay, as of May 9th, 2023, the revenues for the Lafayette Public Library were right at... out of order. I'm sorry, $12 million. And the expenses were right around $6 million. And in comparison to last year, our revenues were about $10.8 million and our expenses were right around $6 million. So we're holding steady on our expenses while we luckily have our revenues increase a little. So we're doing good financially at the moment.
All right, one thing caught my eye, and that was the maintenance and upkeep of the facilities. If I understood it right, I'll put that caveat in it because that's why I'm asking the question. I came up with $307,415. That's maintenance and upkeep. That's across the that doesn't include renovation and things like that. That's just regular maintenance and upkeep.
What accounts did you combine to get those numbers?
Sure. Building maintenance, equipment maintenance, ground maintenance, those three numbers.
Yeah, and you should probably include janitorial services and supplies. But yeah, that's pretty close. And actually, when I present the budget, if you look at the pro formas that I present you, it does categorize that as a line item that pretty much adds those together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my number should be right
if
my calculator was correct.
I think you're missing janitorial services.
I did not put in janitorial services.
Yeah. I normally include that in that category. But you're closer to 400,000.
Okay. With that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it pretty equally across the board, or obviously this building is going to be more in maintenance and south because
you have the large grassy areas around the south, so that takes...
It depends on the facility, correct.
Each one. We don't have a breakdown of each facility?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay. Would you be able to do that?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay. If you can.
Yeah.
I did a round average of 61,483 per year per facility as an average of five, because that's what we have, five.
It's going to depend on the facility.
Right.
It's going to... You've got 64,000 square feet versus 10,000 square feet facility.
Understood.
It's going to be way different.
Okay, thanks. All right. All right, I don't have anything else. Any other questions from anyone? No? Mr. Angel, that was it?
Yes, you
have some more?
For facilities and finances, that was it.
Okay, great, thanks. All right, first item on new business, South Regional Library Renovation Project Presentation.
So we have Mr. Gene Sellers with Sellers Architects. I'm going to put up a few slides here. Gene, do you want a clicker? Or you
I'll
want
be
just kind of
flipping this. I can maybe tell you that as you go through the sheets. Good afternoon. How are
Hi.
Y'all? I'm Gene Sellers with the Sellers Group Architects. And we were the original architects for the library, and
yeah.
We've been charged with, we were charged with looking to an expansion of the library. Then due to funding, we kind of turned that project into renovation, changing out equipment. And I kind of have an overview because we recommended that we break the project into two separate projects. One is renovation, which mainly deals with mechanical and electrical equipment improvements, as well as some finishes, and in a separate project to re-roof the building. The building is about 15 years old right now, so there's 5 years left on the warranty of the roof, so that kind of is, we were asked to go through design development, but our recommendation is to kind of postpone that portion of the project until we bid and start work on the other project. So the renovation project is mainly interior and exterior renovations and upgrades to address required maintenance and repair items for functionality and lifespan of the facility. Some ground-mounted exterior lighting changes, removal and replacement of doors and hardware for better access control. But the main portion of the project is to upgrade the lighting to LED lighting for energy efficiency and to replace the majority of the HVAC system. The base bid includes replacement of the two largest systems in the building, that being the area that is teens, children's, story time, and the main lobby of the building, and a portion of the stack area. And the other thing in the base bid would be to replace the HVAC system that is in the meeting rooms, the auditorium, the public restrooms, and the large meeting room. So those are the major items in the base bid. And again, we would do some other minor improvements. There's a synopsis of all of that in your package. I don't really know if you want me to read through every one. Then there's alternate items there's two more units that would be replaced in the alternates. So alternate number one would replace the next largest air handling unit, and that is air handling unit number one, which conditions the study rooms and periodicals and the other main stack area of the library. That would be alternate number one. That would be bid separately for making sure we have enough funds to do it. Public bid law allows three alternates to be bid into projects, so we broke it up like that. Hopefully you have enough funds to do them all. Alternate number two would be to change air handling unit number four. Air handling unit number four is the staff work area, and it would include the electrical modifications for that. The base bid would include all the LED upgrades for the lights, however, so that would be in the base bid. Then the third alternate, which used to be the first alternate, but we moved it to the third based on the library's comments, would be to upgrade the VAV boxes to make a more efficient heating system, to change to SCR heat, which allows the heat to modulate as opposed to being in two stages to where it's on low or high. This would ramp up and make it more efficient for heating purposes. It might not be as needed as much with the new outdoor air units that we're going to put in the base bid. So all of the outdoor air units would be replaced in the base bid. Those are the rooftop units that provide fresh air to the building that is required by code. One other optional item that we recommended that be considered that wasn't designated to be in the base bid or the alternate was to connect the interior lighting to the emergency generator. Not all of it is. And through their comments, they asking us to put that into the base bid. So we would probably add that to the base bid in construction documents phase. Just to kind of go over the time frame, we think it'll take 60 to 90 days for us to complete the construction documents to get it ready for bid for their final review once you authorize us to go to that next phase. Probably take about 60 to 90 days for their review and purchasing's approval to put the job out for bid. Then kind of the shocker is that the time frame that it'll take to do the job, 14 to 16 months, because the air handlers and outside air units are the things that are long lead times these days. 50 weeks is what the manufacturer estimates to get all the equipment on site. We recommend that we don't really start till we have all the equipment so it could be a progression. And the job has to be phased such that we're only taking one section of the library out at a time to keep that library operational. There will be parts of the time, especially the meeting rooms, when the meeting rooms will have to be closed because there'll be no air conditioning in that area of the library, which I believe we said would be phase one to do that project first, that area of the project first. The cost estimate on that, the base bid is estimated to cost $1,655,725. Alternate number one, again, is for the third largest air handler. That's $181,250.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
The ones, the 1.6, when you get to 1.8, the 1.8, or the 181,000, that's in addition to the 1.6, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so yeah, I'm just adding these down.
We'll have the math at the bottom. Yes,
okay.
Sir. So the 1,655 includes the two largest air handlers, the three outside dedicated air outside units, and all the LED upgrades on the lighting. Changing the carpet in the teens and story time, putting carpet in story time, changing the carpet in children's area, and all the hardware finish upgrades for access, better access control, and some of the doors that are just beat up from 15 years of service, reworking those finishes
okay.
and hardware.
Thank you.
Again, alternate number one is the next largest air handler at $181,250 is our estimated construction cost. Alternate number two is air handler four, which again is that staff in the cafe area, is $116,250. Alternate number three would be the VAV boxes to SCR heat, was $122,188. So the total of the alternates is $419,688. And the total renovation cost for all the air handlers, base bid and all three alternates is $2,075,413. Consulting, planning, professional services for the renovation project are $193,476. So the total estimated project cost is $2,268,889 for that portion of the project. And again, that $18,750 was something that we said that we could potentially do to add more lighting to the generator that's been asked to be put into the project. That's the project that we recommend that we move forward with right away. As he mentioned, one of the compressors went out. Also, that refrigerant is no longer on the market. So if you do buy that refrigerant for the for those units, it's very expensive if you lose Freon in the units. So it's, you know, and the equipment's, like I said, 15 years old. It's aged out. So the majority of this project is to upgrade that with more efficient HVAC systems and lighting.
Is that an R12 refrigerant that goes in there?
The refrigerant right now is 410A, maybe.
Okay.
The next project that we have that, again, we were asked to go through schematic design development.
Mr. Sellers, can I ask you a question about
certainly.
This? Alternate number three, you'd said something that maybe it's not as necessary or as pertinent before. Did I?
And that's why we moved it from all the library board had initially asked us, or the library staff had initially asked us to make it alternate number one because they were having trouble with the heat. But a lot of that is because the fresh air units are not properly working anymore.
Okay.
That manufacturer went out of business, so it's hard to get parts. Once the new fresh air units are in place, it'll deliver 70-degree air, so heating won't be as critical. So they asked us to move it to alternate number 3 instead of alternate number 1. So if you don't have the funds, because you have to accept alternates in the order that they're given when you award a project, that's why they asked us to move it to alternate 3. So you're not obligated to award it, and we're saying it's less critical now, so that's why we're moving it to alternate 3. Doesn't mean it's not necessary. It would provide more efficient electrical use of those heating elements, but it's not as critical as it will be once the new fresh air units are operational and working properly. Any more questions on that portion of the project? We'll move to the re-roofing. It's pretty much basically the flat roof of that area would be replaced. It's about 37,000 square feet, I believe, the building. So, again, we would remove and replace that roof down to the structural metal deck. The roof is 15 years old. Initially, they had a few blister problems, but the manufacturer took care of that. As far as we know, you might get an intermittent leak. But there's a 20-year, no-dollar limit warranty for the manufacturer to come fix your roof. And that's why we said we don't really think you need to do it right away. We think we should bid the other project and then move forward with construction documents at a later date.
Are we doing a pitch on the roof, or are we going back with a flat roof on it again?
No, we're going back with a flat roof. We have mechanical equipment, gas lines, taller roof areas where we have natural lighting coming into the side of the building. It's not completely flat. There is a slope, and we can get another 20-year warranty with the new system that we would have. It would be very costly to change the roof system to put a pitch on the whole thing. Such a big roof, too, you know, for almost 40,000 square feet. But you have that raised center spine of the roof with all the natural light that comes into the atrium area and also in teens. It'd be really difficult to change that. Anyway, we would go back with a similar type roof system, except better insulation, so it would increase the R value and energy efficiency of the building to meet the new energy code. It does not address the metal roofs. We think those are performing fine. They have a slope, and the coating is performing fine on those. Once we were given authorization, again, we think 60 to 90 days to complete the plans, 90 days to get it advertised, and that'd be about a 5 to 6 month construction period to re-roof that area.
I'm sorry, repeat that last thing.
So about 90 days to do the plans and specs once we're authorized to move into construction documents, which we again recommend we just wait to do that. No use incurring our fee cost at this time. About 90 days to get approval and 5 to 6 months of construction period to re-roof the building. Roofing materials were very hard to get for a good while, especially foam insulation, but that's kind of corrected itself since the pandemic. That's what really affected that, and labor shortages and material availability of foam, but that's better. So the material lead time is only 4 to 6 weeks now, as opposed to 10 months for foam insulation for a good while. The estimated cost at current market conditions for that, this just has a base bid because pretty much we're just going to re-roof the entire building because it's all aged to the same period. You know, it's 15 years old now, so maybe 16 years old when we go to re-roof it, maybe a little longer. $926,000, $91,000 in fees and other professional services. For a total estimate of $1 million, $1,018,234.77. Just kind of as a recap for both projects, I believe there's a $4 million allocation to South Regional for these renovation projects. So they include fees that have been worked on for the prior plans when we did to expand the library, the fees for these projects, the construction of these projects, and some allocations for new furniture and moving of the furniture while the project is ongoing. And based on Larry's latest document that you sent me, you have about $130,000 extra in the budget. So it's pretty tight on that. That's why we think we should bid the alternates and delay bidding the roofing until we see what the cost of the HVAC changeout would be. Sorry if it kind of went a little long, but I was trying to explain to you everything in the project.
Thank you very much. If anybody has any, if anybody has any questions, I guess you would entertain some questions, please.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I don't have any. Just wanted to know if anybody else did.
No. Good.
I guess the only other thing would be to give us directives to proceed with the construction document phase of the renovation portion of the project, I think is what Larry would like to get.
Right, right.
Because we've been authorized to go through where we are. This would finish the plans and get it ready for bidding for the renovation portion of the project.
Correct.
Board to vote on it today. Is that what we're asking the board to vote on it today?
Yes, sir. We need authorization to move on to the next phase of the project, the construction document phase. So we would be asking you to approve the combined schematic design development phase and the budget proposed and move into the construction document phase. After, like Mr. Gene Sellers indicated, after about 90 days, we'll have some construction documents to look at and a new estimate. And we'll again present that information to you guys before we send it out to bid. And again, you have to approve us before we go out to bid.
Gene, I have a question for you. I'm sorry. Did you have? Go ahead.
That's it.
Okay. The alternates 1, 2, and 3.
Yes, sir.
On the first part. Is it possible to, particularly number 3? And you said that. Once these other items are done, that fresh air will actually sort of resolve itself. It's not as efficient as a new unit, understood, but the fresh air would.
It's gonna assist in heating the building because outside air units precondition the air. So you have to bring outside air into a building. If it's 95 degrees outside and humid, you don't want to pump that air. So outside air units come in and they make the air what they call neutral. So it's dehumidified and 70 degrees. That's what the air is delivered. So you can heat or cool it easier than if you're bringing in really cold air in the winter or hot air in the summer. All right. So it's going to not demand as much heating from those VAV boxes, which reheat the air for all over the library. So in discussion with Dan, he just said, look, I don't want to make it alternate number 1 because it won't be as critical. Now that we'll get our boxes ready, can we move it to alternate number 3? Once we get the bids, you can determine at that time, do we want to accept it or not? You're not obligated to accept it just because we put it in the bid package.
Right.
Thank you.
Right, that's what I was going to clarify. When we get bids, we as the agency can accept alternate 1, we can accept alternate 1 and 2, we can accept alternate 1, 2, and 3. We have that choice once we get those bid prices. So just leaving it in there now doesn't mean we have to accept it.
Right.
We just want to see what the prices come in at. If things are looking good, prices are looking low for some reason, we might go ahead and do that. But just explaining how that works.
Yeah. So the long-term savings of the electrical consumption may pay for it over time, but it's not as critical as changing the air handlers out now that they're starting to get old.
No, understood. The air handlers, that's a different ball game. One of the things that I recall is this discussion goes back 2 years probably, and looking at it, if my memory serves me, I recall about a $1.4 million cost estimate for this project, for the renovations of South Regional. This was not anything you did. I don't want anybody to misunderstand that. This was just throwing some numbers around as opposed to the complete addition. It was going to be less to do this than the addition, which put us in budget. and not over budget. And I'm looking at numbers now, and we're looking at about $3 million. And if my memory serves me right, it's about a $0.8 million, about an $800,000 increase in cost from when we first envisioned this. Mm-hmm. And my point is that costs keep rising.
Exponentially for mechanical, electrical equipment.
That's I'm not saying anything really that we're not aware of. So from 2 years ago to now, we've seen, in some instances, a 50 to 75% increase in costs. Is my estimate correct?
Yeah, it's about 1% a month right now, inflation in construction, around 0.6 to 1% per month.
Okay.
So the longer we delay moving forward, the more it's going to cost. And it's pretty inevitable you need to change the equipment because it's 15 years old.
In South Louisiana and
right.
It's had its life.
But that's one thing that we've really noticed is construction inflation used to be 3% a year and now it's 1% a month.
It's 12% a year. So it's 24% in the last 2 years.
Right. Well, that's what it is now. It was higher than that
okay.
a little while back.
All right. So it actually jumped up, and now it's still going up, but not at the same increasing
correct.
Rate. Okay.
That's some things have leveled off, and other aspects haven't, like mechanical HVAC equipment is probably the one that's rising the most
okay.
and continues to rise.
Larry, the question about the budget now from me. And the whole thing is right at 3.3. That's about what I got.
Yeah, well, you also have to consider all the architect and engineering fees we've already paid for the multiple phases that we've changed. So when you account for that, you lost $400,000 on this project.
So we're at 3.6
yeah.
ish.
Maybe more.
We're pushing four.
You're approaching $4 million if you do everything.
Okay.
With the roof.
Is this within the budget that we have?
Yes.
Okay, that's my other question.
And that's the $4 million budget we had?
Yes.
If I may ask, what was the delay and why we couldn't move this forward if we had this information in the past? Maybe I shouldn't ask that question. No, we good.
President?
Yes.
And just for clarification, Larry, this project, originally there were other plans for it, but we didn't have the funding for the addition, and so this, am I wrong?
No, we had funding. If we would have went out for bid at the time we had construction documents ready for the expansion project, we would have missed all of these price increases, and we would have had a larger facility with redundant chiller systems, which are better than what we are proposing here. So we missed our opportunity.
Okay, I thought there was a budgetary concern, and so the proposal to the board was to do these modifications at South Regional instead of the addition.
I guess operationally, you guys wanted to hold things back to make sure things were okay, but as far as the budget went for the project itself, it was on point. We would have had a larger facility, more efficient, and more options would have been done at a way lower price.
Anyone else? Question?
Let's move forward.
You making a motion?
Chairman Judge, is there a question for
the board? I'm sorry. We don't have a vote on the board yet. We don't have a motion to do anything at the moment. So we're asking for if anyone would like to entertain that. Not yet. We don't have anything to vote on, so there's.
Is Dr. Petrie?
Dr. Petrie, you want to be recognized?
Well, recognized insofar as with all the information we've heard, in general, common sense would dictate that we move forward. I'm still wincing from what Larry just observed for us. My question is, for those who have been involved in this process longer than some of us, the language, I think, on how we move forward is important, and I'm looking for some suggested language from someone or those who've been here longer. I'm looking at you three in the middle who've been here longer than Pastor Keller, Kelly, and me.
I guess if you want to make a motion, it would be to make a motion to approve with proceeding to the next phase in regards to the South Regional Library renovation project.
Okay.
Is that what you need?
If you would add roofing as well, that way after we get our bids, we can immediately just notify you at the a board meeting that bids prices are good. We'd like to move forward with the roof, or y'all can vote on that again later if you'd like. But if you would approve the approval of both the renovations and the roofing to move into the construction documents, just pausing the roofing phase, something like that.
I see.
That's perfect. Do we have that? Because we can't have it raining on the books. So, okay.
All right, so we have a motion to accept the to move forward to the next phase of the renovation project for South Regional Library as presented, including the roof renovation. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any comments from the board at this point? No? Any comments from the public?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Second.
Wayne Colvin, Lafayette Parish here. The little unsure about y'all process here and how long y'all have had this information to look at. Don't know if it was just presented these numbers to y'all, $3 million, $4 million. Tonight, y'all want to move forward with this, and then Larry's mentioning, you know, well, expansion, but that was not done. I guess that's off the table. I don't know. It was unclear. Mr. Sellers did a good job outlining this, but I don't know if y'all have had time to digest this. And certainly, y'all looking at some numbers, the public is not. And then when you add on the roof, 15-year-old building, 20-year warranty, we got 5 years left. That's 75% of its life. You know, you start on this thing, and 2 years from now, we develop leaks, and we can go back on the warranty and get some reimbursement. Where are we then? You know, we've already replaced the roof. We've lost our warranty claim, and there goes, you know, maybe $500,000, it's $1 million or thereabouts, you know. I'm just saying, you got to look at that. You know, I don't know why we want to move with that at this time, since that's a separate issue altogether. Mr. Kelly brought up a point, you know, the flat roofs, and they seem to be a problem in several areas. The other part is that... And I've mentioned it, you know, months ago last year, and some of you were here on the board then. We talked about the book depository over on Pinhook Road and Evangeline Thruway, that building ought to be replaced because we're paying rent on it. And this would be an ideal place behind the South Regional because there's 4,000 square feet thereabouts behind it, not even behind the open area that's the reading room back there, and there's plenty of room to expand on the other side, which it doesn't look like we're expanding. And that would be because, one, you can drive up to it, and there's parking all the way to the rear of the building. As we said, there's 168 spots available to park. That's the most used library that we have, and you have probably a number of people there that would help facilitate that facility. And so I'm saying, maybe that's something that ought to be looked at in this context here. And I would just, if that's the first time y'all have looked at these numbers, I would say take a moment, take a month to digest this thing and get some questions asked and dive more detail into the procedures, how much we've committed to Mr. Sellers or some of these other consultants, and what costs would we incur.
Mr. Wayne, thank you very much for your time. It's, That's it? Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any comments from board?
Mr. Kelly.
I have a comment. I believe that we have looked at the numbers for the last couple of years, and the reason why we are trying to move forward is because the numbers and inflations, and it's the best time to do it. So I think the research was done prior to me and Dr. Petrie getting on the board, so I think it's wise to move forward.
Anyone else? No? I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of the motion that was regards to the South Regional Public Library renovation, including the roof replacement, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. That item passed. Okay. Next item is the Northeast Library property presentation. Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. Very well.
Good.
I'm Neil Curtis with KD Real Estate, and this is Mark Harris, one of the managing partners of the property, and he had a couple words to say before we got started.
Sir, do you want the clicker?
We don't really. I mean, okay. I'm going to give them the presentation.
So. Okay.
Oh, okay. Great. Thanks.
Like Neil said, my name is...
Yeah, you're going to have to use...
Like Neil said, my name is Mark Harris. Glad to be here. Thank you for your time on tonight's agenda. In your consideration of the property along Louisiana Avenue, which is held by St. Patriots Properties, LLC. As Neil said, I'm the managing member. There is, and I'm one of seven individuals involved in the ownership of the property. Some others are here today. Gary Brewer, Carrie Bryson, and Janet Lally is represented here by her husband, Randy Lally. The remaining three members are typically represented by a gentleman named Sidney Grider, who was out of town today. The property is positioned at the top of a ridge on the corner of Shadow Bluff Drive and Louisiana Avenue. It will provide a beautiful and accessible setting, be complementary to the Louisiana Avenue corridor and the overlay district. The dimensions will accommodate your needs. When open, the Northeast Regional Library will be an excellent location and an attraction for all to stop by and utilize the library's resources. To put this into a objective context, on the most recent appraisal of the property, the independent appraiser on page 17 finished a sentence by saying, it is superior to most sites along Louisiana Avenue. Neil already introduced himself. He, as well as Jim Cady, are our realtors, and I'll let them take over to continue the presentation.
Kind of stole a little bit of my thunder there, but I'll try to, you know, as in any, you know, location is the number one thing with real estate. This particular property, when you look at the location of it being so close to I-10 and so close to so many surrounding schools and parks, if you look on the second page, as far as the schools, which I felt was very important to address, is you have Acadiana Middle School that is 2.9 miles away. You have Northside High, which is 1 mile away, J.W. Falk, which is 1 mile away, Brown Park, which is about a mile and a half. You got Acadiana Park, which is a mile and a half, and you got Paulboro Middle, which is 3.2. I did forget about St. Genevieve and Turlings Catholic. They're in the same corridor here. So the importance of this opportunity for the library is being so close to these schools. You know, if you look at this location, you know, I've lived here all my life. And when I say all my life, 25 years. I drop my son off at basketball practice on Thursday nights at Northside High. And myself and the other parents who have young kids, we don't know what to do with ourselves. You know, we don't want to go in there and watch practice. You know, we don't want to just sit in the car. And having a library that is so close to these locations would be a big help for parents. I look at Northside High, St. Genevieve. Just about every weekend right now, we're hosting AAU basketball tournaments. And those tournaments go Friday night all the way till Sunday. We got kids coming in from Brobridge, Alexandria, Lake Charles, ranging from 6 years old to 17 years old. You know, first game is 8 o'clock Saturday morning, but the next one's not till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So what an opportunity to get the kids, get some homework done, go to a library, a nice peaceful place to unwind their minds. The land itself, you know, just that's just one opportunity I look at with all these kids coming into town that are playing at Northside High, that are playing at St. Genevieve. That alone, I've spoken to other AAU coaches, you know, they're very excited about the opportunity to be able to have an area for their kids to, you know, get some things done, you know, besides basketball, you know, education wise. When I look at this property as well, when you Google map it, and if you could turn maybe to, you know, an aerial view of it, is, you know, the uniqueness of the, I look at this land not just necessary for a library, but something that's bigger than a library. You've got plenty of land out there in the back to set up, maybe partner with the Cub Scouts or Louisiana Wild Game and Fish to do outdoor projects, to educate the kids about outdoors, you know, and the, you know, what it'd be, face painting, whatever it be. You have plenty of land up in the front for the actual structure of the library, but as you get deeper into the back of the property, you know, there's live oaks. There's a bunch of beautiful area out there. Not all the trees have to be taken out of there. Just an ideal. I know it's a little bit more, you know, some of my research, I've noticed that some of the other libraries are more closer to 6 acres, 4 acres. But this gives you an opportunity to make this just more than a library, more of an event for parents to bring their kids to. You know, maybe a little bike trail or whatever it be out in the back. Do you guys have any questions right now? You have anything right now? Just going through. Okay. You know, some of the, you know, like I've mentioned the uniqueness of it, of the location, but, you know, there's no structures on the property. There's no known, you know, environmental concerns. You know, we did a study a couple years ago and it checked out fine. It's in what we call an X zone flood area, which means minimal to no flooding. The elevation of it is well over 44 feet above sea level. It's actually higher than the Target parking lot. The LUS, as far as the utilities with the surrounding neighborhoods, you know, it's easily accessible for, you know, you look at water, sewage, you know, all those, you know, things that come with developing an area. You know, I don't want to, you know, it's just, at the end of the day, it's a piece of land. You know, it's not like I come up with a lot of things to say about it, but the location is absolutely phenomenal. You know, it's, there's not a whole lot to do. Like I said, I dropped my kid off at Northside High and, you know, what do? You know, and I think this library opportunity at this location presents a wonderful opportunity for the kids in that particular area of town.
What's the price tag?
$675,000, which comes out to about $67,000 an acre. The school did purchase the property across the street from Louisiana Avenue where this is located. And I think we're in line with that pricing as well. You know, one thing too that I don't want to make sure, like there's two egresses to get to the property. You can come off of Louisiana Avenue or you can actually come off of Shadow Bluff Drive itself. You know, it'd be easily accessible to put a traffic light there. You know, just, you know, easy access to the property from two different locations.
Opportunity is the entire 10 acres?
We will look and entertain other opportunities.
I have a very specific question that's really inspired by hearing a lot of thoughtful conversation about this Northeast Library, and it's so specific you may not know the answer to it. We've heard from a number of people emphasizing how important it is for this next branch to be on a convenient bus route. Do you have any idea how far the nearest bus stops are or would be from this location?
Well, there's all, I should have touched on the bus stop. I apologize for that. Within a half a mile, but we could look at the opportunity of putting a bus stop at the actual library itself.
It's on a bus route.
It's on a bus route.
Yeah, that's come up Pastor, you haven't heard all
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. It's a bus stop actually right there by the apartment complex, right next to, there's probably 60 kids there that can take advantage of something like that for sure.
But I really feel strongly about that from all that I've heard in my time on this board. That needs to be very conveniently accessible to a bus stop. Thank you.
Yes, that was in my notes. I just didn't mention it. Anything else?
I have a question. This might be more for the board or the staff, but how did we get this to this place where this property is being presented to us?
Okay. So they came after after the process was over. They actually came to the board meeting and mentioned that they had a property and that they had missed the window. And they reached out to me after we were in the process of negotiating for the property that we have and were very pointed that they wanted to do nothing to interrupt the process we were going through and just asked questions about how it worked. I encouraged them to send something to the board because we had not signed anything, and if we had a better option, the board had the ability to purchase whatever they wanted. When the property fell through, I reached out to these property owners to find out if their property was still available and if they're still interested. And I was also reaching out to Holy Rosary while we were looking for other property. And so that's how we got here.
I have a follow-up question for you. A couple of months ago, you and Mr. Angel sent an email saying that you had been doing some recon missions, driving around looking at other potential sites. Was this one of them, Danny?
We actually went on a field trip to this site, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I wasn't sure.
Mr. Judge and I also went on a field trip with Danny to look at the property.
I guess I wasn't invited. No, I'm just joking.
I was trying to avoid a quorum.
I guess one of the questions I have, too, is have we ever considered, the board or the staff expressed any plans as far as the size of the facility that we would hope to be able to build? I've never heard of any plans of that. So, I mean, that obviously would take into account how much property we actually would need.
That's in the architect's contract that was signed, the square footage for the library, the warehouse, that was signed back when they moved this money into our capital budget. I don't know the square footage off the top of my head. I believe it was something similar to the square footage of the West Regional Library. You know, Larry's telling me 12 to 15,000 square feet. We're guessing. He's guessing, and I'm relaying the guess.
Gotcha.
And I will say that when they originally put the money aside in the capital budget in the last session of the Consolidated Council, that they were just basing it strictly on the last library built. There was no assessment of what we would actually need for a library there. And so the committee that Robert and James want to create when we buy a piece of property would further give better details to what we would actually put there. My personal belief is we would not be duplicating the West Regional Library on Louisiana Avenue.
Mark, my
when I made the statement that our property would accommodate the library needs, I was under the understanding from conversations from Danny and other sources that it was to have a property that would accommodate 13 to 26,000 square foot building and an additional 10,000 square foot storage facility, 100 to 130 parking spaces. And I believe our property is more than adequate in that, especially as I have visited those four most recent regional libraries that have been constructed, and and I'm aware of the square footage that are on those footprints as well. Just to clarify, just a small thing, when Mr. Petrie asked about the bus route, and Mr. Kelly, he's right, it's the closest bus stop is like, maybe it's 50 yards away, maybe it's whatever, and but I got a feeling that the bus folks would love to have an additional bus stop right at the Northeast Regional Library. And when he said there's one a half a mile away, there actually is one down at the Target Center, which is exactly about a half a mile. It's actually a little less than a half a mile. He also mentioned that an environmental study was done a couple years ago. He was nervous. It was actually much longer than that, but it was clean, and we have no knowledge of any problems that have been on the property in the duration that we've had it.
Danny, one of the things that, and this came up tonight in the budget and looking at all of the repairs on all of these buildings that the government owns, before South Regional was built, one of the things that happened was the library board put in a temporary small facility to get something going. I had expressed it to you once before, I believe, and James as well, that my concern is that, and this has always been my concern, this is a project that's more than long overdue. However, we don't know several things. One of them is the type of use that we would get, the type of traffic that we would get, so we're not sure what size building we need. And then the cost of not just the operational cost on a day-to-day basis, but the repairs that go along with it. I mean, air conditions break in South Louisiana after about 15, 20 years. If you get 20 years out of an AC unit in South Louisiana because it runs almost 12 months out of the year, you did really, really good. And then other things as well, just home ownership. If anybody owns a home, you know about home ownership. But as an individual that owns a home, it's an asset. As a government, it's an asset, but it's also a liability because of the expense involved in it. My concern is, and it's always been a concern, is that even if we can build a building and we can staff it with moving around and reduction of other things, we still have this, I mean, South Regional is going to cost us $3.3 million, almost $4 million on a 15-year-old building. So in 15 years, if that's going to be 5 years, Larry, it's not a number I came up with when asked about this in the beginning. You're looking at 7 to 5 years before this thing, you open the doors. So in 5 years from now, if it's built and we own this building, in 20 years from now, we're going to be looking at renovations, HVAC systems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These other costs that get into the actual operation of not just running in a library, but the operational cost of owning a physical plant. And I think the taxpayers need to know that this board has done its due diligence in determining, one, which size building we need, can we afford it, and not just those costs, but the cost of maintaining it, operating it, renovating it when it needs to. All of those things need to be projected out and go, yes, we have this. We can do this. This is within our ability without having to go back to the taxpayers and go, gee, we built this building. It was needed. Everybody here agrees that we need a facility on this part of town. It's long overdue. But the question becomes, do we need to build a building, or do we do a long-term lease of a facility that already exists and we don't have the problem of dealing with repair and maintenance of a building? We simply have to deal with running the library. We're out of that realm of dealing with that. And this has sort of been something that's floated under the surface for quite some time now, but I think it's important that the board consider all of these options very carefully. It's not just simply we own it and this is great, and yes, it's great. It needed, yes, that's true. But we don't know what size building we need. We don't know what kind of traffic we're going to have. We don't know any of these things. And I don't know if this is a little of the cart before the horse. And again, it's just a concern that I have. And I'd like everybody to kind of consider those things first.
Mr. Chair, we're going to sit, but we're welcome to come back okay. up at y'all's preference.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all I have.
If I could note that one of the reasons why this property was brought to us was because there's not many properties in the area that we have been, that we want to stay in. So that's one of the reasons why this one was put on our radar.
Yes.
As well.
And it is in the location that we identified in that circle. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mr. President?
Yes, Ms. Lombers.
I appreciate the presentation and the information here tonight. There seems like there's several strong positives about the location of the property. I personally myself would like some more information as far as I'd like to go visit the property, and then I have questions as well as far as what we're looking at for as a building, probably get some more numbers before I can. I mean, I don't know exactly what we're being asked to do tonight. Was it just to get this information? I mean, with where we are right now, I don't feel like comfortable making any vote necessarily. But Danny, please, you drop the mic. So
y'all were being asked to hear the presentation, and if y'all wish to move forward and take an action, you could. If you didn't, you didn't have to. But if I didn't put the, you know, if Robert didn't accept the action maybe taken on there, you wouldn't have had that option.
I think it's also important that for us to continue to move forward with this particular project. I know we do have questions since it's the first time we've seen this presentation. So we definitely, as a board, want to ask those questions. Being that the other property that we were looking at, that didn't pan out, and that's okay. So now we have something else to kind of set our eyes on to see what, you know, what ways we want to go.
Are your questions, are they more internal questions with them or more questions towards us or more?
Some internal, and then I appreciate what you said that y'all would be open to maybe dividing the property?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So once I get some other questions, we'd probably be contacting you and see if you can provide that information to
okay.
us.
Okay, that sounds fair.
Okay.
Thank you. I also agree that we need to do our due diligence to dig a little deeper in it, to make a more educated guess on it. But I like the whole idea of it, the location, and what it can entail in the future. We certainly need more information to make a good decision on it.
I think the public would appreciate the fact that the board is doing its due diligence and actually doing what we're supposed to be doing and making sure that when we go into something like this that we've done all, we've crossed all of our, we've looked at all of the data that we need to look at to, before we make a hard decision on anything, especially when we're talking about this kind of outlay of public funds. So, okay, well, if there's nothing else, we'll move on to item number C. Okay. There's no motion in front of the board, so there's no public comment on the motion that's not in front of the board. So, item number C is the budget for fiscal year 23-24.
Mr. President.
You got to leave,
yes.
Oh. Go ahead.
Yep. We can't vote.
I know we can't. That ends the meeting.
They're saying you can't leave. Can we do it real quick?
Five minutes?
Let's do it. That's right.
Okay, 5 minutes.
5 minutes? We're short today, Pastor.
We're short today. We don't, if Pastor Kelly leaves, we don't have a quorum. We can't vote.
All right, let's roll.
Item is the budget for fiscal year 23-24. Everybody's got this beforehand. Larry, Danny, do y'all have any comments about this whatsoever?
I had a lot of comments, but
nutshell.
Basically, I'm proposing $12,245,450 in revenues and $11,965,790 in expenses, so I'm projecting a small surplus of $279,000. Of course, these numbers are going to fluctuate throughout the budget process. My revenues might be a little more aggressive than Lafayette Consolidated Government's revenues, but we should be within range.
But what you're seeing right now, the revenue that's come in, you're pretty confident that your numbers are good?
I'm pretty confident.
Okay.
The only thing to remember about our revenues is that one of our millage rates or that we're collecting at 1.97 mills right now will go down to 1.84 because that is what the taxpayers renewed the millage at, and that happens in this next budget year. We do have the option to increase our 2.91 millage to, you know, pick up the difference, but we'll talk about that in July when we recommend our levy rates to the parish council. But in this budget, I'm not presenting any raises, but that does not mean that will happen. I think
because LCG could say we're going to raise.
I think they may, but if you were look at the pro forma scenario two, it includes a 2% raise in those numbers. And also looking at those pro formas kind of projects out what our finances will look like and what our fund balance will look like if we were to open a new Northeast Regional Library. With the added expenses, so study those, but we're okay. We're okay with this proposed budget. Like I said, it's proposed as a surplus, and then to, you know, in the long run to operate a new facility, I think we're okay.
Thank you for the hard work and the updated numbers too that you gave us about as of 5/9.
And yep. The narrative you presented to us, thank you, that's very helpful.
It's very helpful, thank you.
Thank you.
And I will remind y'all so that you're not shocked if it happens. If you approve this budget, the parish council and or the mayor president's office could make changes, and they will not be calling you or us about it. They will be making their changes based on what's in the best interest of Lafayette Parish. So just a warning.
Yeah, so what we're doing tonight is essentially advising the parish council that we're good here, but they can basically do what they want to do. Okay. With that, I'll entertain a motion if everybody's comfortable with it. And again, we've had these numbers before earlier in the week, so we had a chance to look through them.
So thank you, Larry, for all of this. I hate numbers, but you make it very simple, so we appreciate it. So I'll make a motion that we approve the fiscal year 23-24 budget.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, Dr. Petrie, do we have any discussion from the board members? Any discussion from the public about the budget?
Yes,
Mr. Wayne. Wayne, anyone else? That's it? Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'll call for a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passed. And that's it. And then we'll go to announcements.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Reminder that the next library board meeting will be Monday, June 19, 2023. Yearly ethics training and sexual harassment training must be completed before December 31st of 2023. I hope all of the board members have finished their financial disclosure and sent that into the state. And I do, yeah, it was due a couple of days ago.
Yep.
As many of you all know, Ms. Wingate, and I noted it last meeting, Ms. Wingate has been on the board for 10 years, and she had sent me something and asked me to read it for you guys. And if anybody that wasn't here last meeting, for this meeting, I'll acknowledge again Ms. Wingate's selfless service to Lafayette Public Library. She served for 10 years. It's a volunteer position. I think that in and of itself is laudable. And we should all thank her. If you see her on the street, tell her thank you for your service. It's quite an accomplishment. But this is what she sent to me that I'll read. Thank you for
thank you for the courtesy of allowing me to be of service as a member of this Lafayette Public Library Board of Control. Unable to attend tonight, which would have been the last meeting of a second five-year term of service to this board, I've asked Board President Robert Judge to read this letter. I've told you that already. Sorry. After being part of the work of this board during the second half of the building program funded by tax dollars generated by a 2002 millage and bond election, one which witnessed from conception to fruition the building of four regional branches and the refurbishing of the main branch in downtown Lafayette, bringing Lafayette's library system into the new century and library services to all parts of our parish. The award-winning library system we all enjoy rests on the shoulders of countless citizens who worked against all odds to get this millage passed and then implemented, ending with the last regional opening in 2019, closing out an almost 20-year building program in a real public-private undertaking. Our library system is more than the brick and mortar of new, modern buildings. Run expertly by professional librarians, it is also award-winning. As the Modestet, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Modestet Award winner of 2020, our Lafayette Public Library was noted as the best library in Louisiana. Being so well utilized by patrons, pre-COVID numbers were clocked at close to 1 million visits per year. As a novice board member, I came to realize this truth. The public, the governing body, our parish council, and the Board of Control working together for a better library system is a necessary element for our library's success and for the place it holds in the future landscape of Lafayette Parish. This is how the governance of our library has been set up, and it has worked well. I would be remiss if I didn't point out and ask you to remember that we all play an important role in securing the future of the Lafayette Parish Public Library. The public who use our libraries keep abreast of issues facing our library, and equally important, elect the parish council members who in turn appoint the board of control members who serve and hire the director tasked with the professional operation of the library system. This is the triad for success of our library. This triad of successes depends on participation of the three partners doing their job. Staying in your lane is the rule of thumb. When a partner does too little or too much in their position, a power vacuum develops that hinders the full potential operation of our library and thereby hindering the service to our patrons and citizens. Lafayette libraries link literacy, learning, and leisure. Our library is a legacy of our past and a link to our future. It has been great to see so much interest in our library evidenced by attendance at these open meetings. Thank you for your continued patronage, interest, concern, and support for our library, and remembering how integral each of us is in its continued operation as perhaps a last bastion of free speech in our world. Kindest, Joan Wingate. And with that, I have nothing else. We do have... I'm sorry, one second, please. Yeah. Oh, thank you. All right. Public comments on any library business which is not on the agenda. So if we have public comments regarding library business that is not part of the agenda tonight, we'll entertain those now.
My name is Danielle Bro, and I'm a resident of Vermilion Parish. I'm no longer employed by the Lafayette Public Library. Since November 2016, I've missed but three board meetings, including any and all special meetings held. I have attended 77 meetings and have been responsible for relaying the minutes of 80 meetings. In February of 2023, Director Ghislaine spoke of staff trauma. Personally, this is the trauma that has affected me. Starting in 2018, my office number and my email address were given out continuously for complaints, whether it be for drag queen story time or what was thought of as a book banning crusade. I've missed out on familial events, I've missed the end of my father's life. I was actually sitting in a meeting as he was reaching out for help. I have missed an immediate family member's journey through cancer. I have been yelled at. My life has been threatened. I have had emails likening drag queens reading to children to an illegal immigrant breaking into my house and killing my family. People have shown up in my office to yell at me and demand answers to things that I was never privy to as a mere secretary. What I would not have expected was for that to be far from the lowest point that the meetings, the library, and the rhetoric surrounding them would reach. In the last 3 years, meetings have changed dramatically. While I am happy to see community input, meetings have been boisterous and lacking in clarity. Agendas have been held until the last minute and tend to be reformatted, causing more confusion. Once again, every time the board made a decision that wasn't liked, my number was given out. I have personally seen the TikTok videos to call and have your voice heard. I have gotten threats from many people in and out of state. I loved my job. Loved. Danny is a wonderful, appreciative boss. The current administration is fantastic. It is because of this board and these meetings that I started to pursue other job opportunities. I would like to reiterate the words stated by Constance Milton in August of 2022. I ask that the board take staff into consideration when making decisions for the library system, and I ask that you make decisions that help the staff moving forward. I implore all of you, board and public alike, to consider the ramifications of not listening to the staff or administration. Understand that no one is trying to deceive the board, and that it is imperative to remember that rushing decisions ends up in the opposite result of the one desired. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Claire Delcom, Lafayette, and the letter from Ms. Joan Wingate was very clear in showing that each of us needs to stay in our own lane. And the young lady that just spoke, having gone through, obviously, a very traumatic time, having her phone number put out so that people could abuse her. I wanted to say, let librarians do their jobs. They are trusted professionals and should be trusted and respected. The board should do what it's supposed to do, and not bring their own personal agendas into library business. Stay in the lane. For adults, please, it should be clear that any adult should be able to read whatever they want to read. Let them decide that for themselves. The library board or groups that want to press for censorship are not in charge of individuals. That's an overreach. Let parents do their due diligence in guiding their children in what they wish to read and what they don't want them to read. Stay in each of your lanes. It's a disgrace what's happened here. It's a disgrace that an employee leaves a job that she obviously loved because of the drama that's been created. Libraries should be run by librarians, and the director's been quite good and fair. Religion should not be running the library. Private interests that are existing around here that have ill intent towards people in our community that are marginalized. Leave them alone. Stay in your lane. That's it.
Thank you.
Hey, my name is Hannah Guillory. I'm from Lafayette Parish. First of all, I just wanted to urge y'all to make haste in making movement with the Northeast Regional Library. We all know that it's an underserved community. We all know that this is just unacceptably delayed. So please just put in time, make the decisions, trust the decisions, trust the professionals. I mean, trust your instincts, trust professionals, and make haste. I also wanted to raise up what John McKell said at the April Library Board meeting. I noticed that it's not written out really clearly in the minutes of last month of April. But he put it really well, and he was very straightforward, so I just kind of wanted to reflect on that. Specifically, I'd like to just ask you, Robert Judge, to step down as president. It's my opinion and my understanding that not only are you not qualified for this position to hold orderly meetings, the drama, the trauma that was just spoken about, but it's also my opinion that your position incites violence toward marginalized communities. So that's all I got. Y'all have a good night. Thank y'all for being here.
Thank you. I guess not here. No. Kirk LaBall? No. You pass? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
My name is Lynette Mejia, and I'm a resident of Lafayette Parish. A couple of things. First, I have here the latest copy of Senate Bill 7, currently making its way through the Louisiana legislature. This is the bill which seeks to establish regulations regarding collection development in public libraries. I went to the Capitol to speak against this bill when it was in committee, as one of our sitting board members and one incoming board member should know, as they were there as well. So, I presume to speak in favor of it. It passed out of committee and is currently making its way through the full legislature. I'm presenting this to you because this bill, which has a very good chance of becoming law, is less restrictive than the collection development policy you passed in February. This bill requires a parent to file a reconsideration request for any material to be restricted under the new tiered card system. Why? Because when it was pointed out to Senator Cloud how ridiculous it was to require librarians to comb through hundreds of thousands of books to search for sexual content, even she understood that it was too much to ask. Right now, in Lafayette Parish, young adult books are being moved to the adult section because of supposed sexual content without any reconsideration request at all, simply because less than 20 parents have opted into your new card system. So if this bill is passed, Lafayette librarians will have to turn around and move all those books back to the YA section until the reconsideration requests are filed for each one because of sexual content. If you don't, you will get sued. How do I know that? Because I'm going to be the one to sue you. I respectfully request that someone make a motion to rescind the new collection development policy until Senator Cloud's legislation is decided and possibly becomes law. The other thing I wanted to mention tonight is that May is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Did you know that the population of Lafayette Parish is about 2% Asian? Wouldn't it be wonderful to walk into one of our public libraries this month and see a display about Asian American history? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were an Asian American citizen of Lafayette to be able to walk into one of our libraries and see yourself and your family welcomed, celebrated in our community with a display that featured books about you? But this library doesn't celebrate any populations, does it? Thank you.
Thank you. That's it? Okay. Last item. Closing prayer and adjournment, if we could stand. Maybe, David, would you be so kind?
Sure.
Okay.
Dear Lord, creator of us all and all of our complexity and our hurts and brokenness, I simply ask that you continue to heal us, to open our minds and our hearts, and most immediately to grant us all safe travels back to our homes, to let us continue to serve you as you have asked us to do. Amen.
Amen. With that, the meeting is adjourned.